Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. Today, plausibly live, it's the Zabecast.
We'll do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Today's guest, sports radio lifer and DC Jewish Sports Hall of Famer, Andy Pollin.
See?
And now, let's get to yakking.
Here we go.
All right, Andy, we are into the summer. We have one last hockey game left, and then the NBA draft. How you doing on this June Monday?
Well, I'm fortunate that a man named Carrier invented air conditioning many years ago.
Oh, and we're going to talk air conditioning on this program here in just a second. It has been a blistering week in the Mid-Atlantic. I have been in Milwaukee here where it's been not bad at all. A little bit of rain on Saturday, some storms rolled through, but man, how bad has it been back home?
Yesterday, I went to the movies, which is one of the few things you can do in this kind of heat, because
yes.
It's air conditioned,
right.
And I got in my car to come home about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It said 101 on my dash. I've never seen that.
You've never seen that? So even after you opened the windows, got the car started, got the AC running, started driving down the road to at least dissipate the heat wherever the temperature sensor is in a vehicle. I don't know where it is. Do you know where the temperature sensor is?
Well, it's on the outside, meaning that's what the outside temperature was. It's 101.
I know, but it could be trapped in a little nook of your engine where it's hotter than it is real.
No. I've been in the car for 7 or 8 minutes when it said 101. So, yeah, that was the...
So was it a real 101?
Yeah, because they don't calculate heat index on a car thermometer.
Andy, but you're counting it as a car dashboard 101. I don't think that's a, quote, real 101.
Well, I think we topped 100. I think I saw a couple places.
You're going to have to check with Bob Ryan and see what he has to say. Okay.
Long retired.
All right, you'll have to check with Topper Shutt and see what he has to say.
He's still going.
You'll have to check with Sue Palka and see what she says.
God bless.
Who else was a dean of meteorologists in the D.C. market?
Well, the guy now is Doug Cameron.
Oh, right. Yeah, he's the new boss.
And I've been told he's the highest paid person in local television. I don't know how accurate that is.
But no way.
Yeah.
Okay, well, he's got a good agent then.
Yeah, I guess so.
Is he making a million a year?
I don't know. I don't think they pay that anymore for local news.
Right. Once upon a time, though.
Oh, yeah.
Back when a million went a lot further.
That's true, but a lot more people were watching the local news.
They sure were. Okay, so hot back home, going to cool off eventually, I suppose. You lived in South Texas, so
yes.
You know hot.
Yes, that's a good point.
Is the D.C. hot worse than South Texas hot? And why?
Because of the humidity. Now, in Houston... it can get really bad. I live 90 miles east of Houston, and I remember some hot days, but I don't remember over 100. But when I was
where did you live east of Houston?
Beaumont, Port Arthur area.
Port Arthur. And that hot wasn't as bad as D.C. hot.
It was bad, but it wasn't It didn't seem as bad. And then I was in San Antonio, and one, I think July or August, every single day it broke 100 for a month.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's brutal. So even you, who sort of knee-jerk defends the weather in the Mid-Atlantic, even you, are you ready to pull out your club and stick and take it to the kneecaps of our weather just once? Please, Andy.
Look, please. We have bad weather from time to time, but you're looking for
please?
The nirvana of weather.
Please, so would you at least say this weather
you've
sucks?
You've chosen Milwaukee, which has brutal winters, and
it
then you like
does.
To talk about Arizona, where 101 is like, where's my sweater? You know?
Exactly. I want to ask you a honest question that is meant to be in no way insulting, demeaning, or condescending. It is a question It is a question that I genuinely don't know what your answer is going to be. But it's particularly interesting to me after the weekend I just had. And my question to you is simply this. Why aren't you more into music?
That is a good question.
And thank you.
Probably it goes to the fact that I'm the oldest in my family, so I didn't have like an older brother, especially a sister. Guys who have older sisters, they seem to be into music a lot. I have worked my entire career either at, one summer I worked at a music station in San Antonio. So I didn't really, I'm 47 years of radio. I don't think I've ever worked at a station where the format was music. So there's
right.
part of that. And I don't know, I just like listening to news. I keep, you know, if I'm not listening to sports talk, and I listen to less and less over the years because I'm not interested in what most people have to say anymore, but I do listen to news quite a bit.
Okay, so when you were in high school, when your mm-hmm. hair was long and your glasses yeah. were big, yeah. what did you listen to in the car? Because sports radio had not even remotely been invented at that time. Surely
yeah.
you must have had a band or two that you were like, this is my band.
Oh, I listened to music. In fact, I listened to music. By the time I started driving, I think they were still music. 980 was top 40.
AM music. Okay.
Right.
All right. But you weren't ever into it.
No, not really. No, I really
so
was not.
Fascinating. And yeah. do you think you'll ever get into it in your advancing years?
No, I like certain, you know, the stuff I like is older stuff, James Taylor, Billy Joel, Elton John, stuff like that, you know,
right.
and that was popular when I was in high school.
And I would imagine you have no interest in going to concerts.
I've been to a few, but I don't go out of my way. I know people who will travel to Europe to go see Springsteen.
Oh, yeah. Some people that travel and go with bands they like to see multiple shows, even though it's the same show. Right down to the set list that they
right.
know and they can look up online.
Yeah, but if there's an opportunity to go to a concert, I go, but I don't go out of my way to go to them.
All right, what was the last concert you paid money to go to?
It might have been Paul McCartney in 2000.
With Wings?
No. This was when he was at Nats Park, 2013.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a big
11
one.
Years.
So yeah, you paid yeah. to go to that?
Yeah, well, I had somebody I knew who helped me get tickets, but we paid for him, and he was great. He was absolutely great.
All right, so you chose to go see McCartney and paid money to see him.
Right.
Okay, good. And there's nobody else on the landscape now that you would go to see?
Billy Joel is still performing. In fact, my son and his fiance went to the show at Madison Square Garden.
I saw that on TV yeah. as they played it live and cut off the concert right at 11. It was like the Heidi game. Did you hear about that?
Yes. Was it Billy Joel or somebody else?
No, it was Billy Joel, and they cut off like the last 3 minutes right in the middle of Piano Man.
Yeah, well,
on TV. So they cut away on TV to go to the news. And they're like, what are you doing?
He must have gone to a different one because I think it was after that happened. But
okay.
But,
well, this was apparently the last one, and it aired live. during the Final Four or during the, right around that time, I believe.
Yeah, this is more recent. This is in the last month he went to this.
Okay. Yeah. So I went to, in succession, Kane Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who that is?
No, but I'm
country
sure
music,
you like him.
Country music. He is he is an interesting talent because his mom is white, his dad black and part Cherokee, but also incarcerated, raised by his single mom. And he introduces hip-hop and R&B influences to his country music. And it's a very spicy blend. Now, some people are like, he ain't country. And they got very uppity about the whole what is or is not country. My co-host, Brian Butch, who's not even much of a musical guy, was going off on Friday going, oh, come on, that's not country. And I was like, well, by your definition, the only thing that's country is Merle Haggard, Dolly Parton, and Johnny Cash. That's a tight little circle right there.
And they're all good.
And they're all good. And I brought
up the crossover. I mean, especially Johnny Cash and Dolly Parton. Those are crossover hits into pop.
Are they though, or are they just popular as country music? People knew them.
I remember Johnny Cash and the Folsom Prison performance and all that.
Johnny Cash was also kind of blues, but whatever. So I saw Kane Brown on Thursday at Summerfest, the big music festival here. That was great. I then also saw Motley Crue with my boy Big Mike and company.
That's metal, right? Heavy metal?
Hair metal, 80s metal, you know, girls, girls, girls. I used to open the podcast with Motley Crue's Dr. Feelgood. We talked to somebody who had been to 40 of their concerts in front of us in the second row. And he was there with his wife, and she was like, yeah, they're great. It's such a spectacle. And she was all into it, and he was all into it. And I thought, man, that's a lot of Motley Crue, but okay. And then Saturday night, I saw Kenny Chesney, who is the headliner. Oh. He's country. And the warm-up band, or the band before him, the opener, was the Zac Brown Band. And Zac Brown, by most accounts, was better than Chesney because he's monstrously talented and has headlined toured himself and sold out stadiums himself, Zac Brown. And so somebody was saying, you know what, Kenny Chesney's got balls the size of church bills that he would let Zac Brown open for him, not being afraid of being shown up.
Yeah, that is good.
It was a monster concert. It was basically two concerts in one. I was glad I went to it, but it was like the first stadium concert I think I'd ever been to, believe it or not. Yeah, first stadium concert I'd ever been to.
Yeah, I saw Billy Joel and Elton John together at Nats Park. That was great. That was a really...
Oh, so you have been to some.
A few, but I mean, I hear from people that go to, you know, I've been to 150 Springsteen concerts, or, you know, it's just not me. That's not what I'm into. I do like it, though. I wouldn't say I wouldn't go to it. I like it.
All right. Could I drag you to a concert later this summer?
What are we going to see?
That's up to me. You're just going to have to say yes.
Well, but I don't know if I like the artist.
All right, we'll work on it. I'll throw you some options. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, and think 70s because...
Yeah, well, I will. I know what your demo sweet spot would be. Well, you know what? We'll call our guy Bernie at Wolf Trap, which is a national park. It's the most white people rich suburban venue for music events in the country. It's welfare for the rich, as my dad would say. There's no reason this concert venue, subsidized by the government, should be in a neighborhood in the leafy suburbs of McLean, Virginia, like it is. But there it is.
That's your Commonwealth for you.
Well, you gonna come across the river? Let's go. I'll smuggle you into my trunk.
It'll take a lot to get me across the river.
I'll drug you, and I'll put you in the trunk, and you'll never know. You'll wake up in Virginia and say, okay, we're ready for the concert? Let's go.
Just like Goodfellas, right? Throw me the trunk.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, I got to get your take on J.J. Redick being announced as the next head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. On the one hand, you could say, hey, you know what? He's sharp. He knows what he's talking about. He's got LeBron's trust in his ear. On the other hand, you can laugh your ass off and say, the Lakers hired a podcaster.
Yeah, that's how he got the job. Yeah. Now, LeBron, because Brian Windhorst says this all the time, LeBron does not pick the coach. He'll let you know whether he likes the coach or not, but he doesn't want it on his hands when the coach gets fired.
Who says LeBron doesn't pick the coach?
Windhorst, Brian Windhorst.
And do you believe that?
Well, he's been like LeBron's whisperer for 20 years.
He's also been LeBron's stenographer, an apologist, really? And wingman. I wouldn't believe that. You know LeBron picked JJ, or he told the Lakers, yeah, that guy, wink, wink.
Yeah, I think it was that. Yeah, but he didn't say, okay, let's sit down, Genie, and decide who I want to coach me. I don't think he does that.
Do you think they just read LeBron's face? Like, what's going to make him not want to leave us? Oh, let's get the coach he likes. Yeah, Redick, you're hired.
Well, according to a report, though, Genie Buss was really not upset, but disappointed that they didn't get Danny Hurley. They wanted him, and they thought, hey, we're the Lakers. We should be able to get him.
Right.
And he said, no, I'm not doing it.
All right, well, do you think it's going to work?
No.
Because?
Because the Lakers aren't good enough. They got an aging LeBron who's still good, and they got Anthony Davis who plays and plays well when he plays, but he's hurt a lot. Who else do they have?
They don't have a lot of other star players. They've got component pieces.
And you know, if the one thing about Phil Jackson, he knew where he wanted to coach. You know, first one was sort of Doug Collins got fired in Chicago, and then he took over and won the 6 titles there. When it was time to go shopping for a job, he wasn't taking any job. He was going to go coach Kobe.
All right, how about the whole notion that maybe Redick is just not experienced enough as a coach? That's why it's not going to work, not because of the roster, but because the fuck does he know about coaching? He's a podcaster.
Maybe, but I think if he had a team that was capable of winning a championship, he might be able to do it, but he doesn't have a team that's close to that.
Wow. Well, it's a crazy day and age. Is this now the bottom of the you really don't need qualifications barrel for NBA head coaches? Or is there an even lower rung with even less credentials than podcaster to hire a guy to coach a team?
Well, let's be fair. He did play in the NBA for
don't
a
care.
Long time. Well, but that has gotten others with no experience jobs as well, including Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers went right from playing to coaching.
Didn't he stop in the broadcast booth first for ABC?
Maybe, but briefly. But that's the same as JJ. That's what he did.
Okay. You know. Well, maybe coaching is easier than I give it credit for. Maybe it's overrated. But there
I don't
you
think
go.
It's overrated. I just think it's a lot different than people used to think of what it is, and it's a hell of a lot different than college because you got professionals. You don't have to show them how to do a layup. You know, it's different.
Right, but you got to manage them. You got to run some sets. Yeah, you got to have some philosophy on offense. You got to know this, that, the other.
Right, in this day and age, you got to know when they play and when they don't play and how much to play them. Yeah, there's a lot of that. But I think you either have great players who are capable of winning or you don't.
All right, cut to the worldwide leader and Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah,
you've heard that he wants –
Yeah,
you've heard that he wants $25 million a year, and the worldwide leader, the big four-letter red cable network in the Connecticut woods, is only at $18 million per year. Here's Stephen A. Smith explaining his side of it, why he thinks he deserves the money. It's 1 minute, and if you can't hear it, just say, I can't hear it.
I want to be recognized as arguably the greatest sports commentator who ever lived. You can't talk to me for less than $5 million. Why? Because I had the data that showed this was the revenue that I brought in. These were the ratings. And not only did I have the ratings every day, I had the ratings of every quarter hour of every single show. There's plenty of people that talk about the same topics that I talk about, but they don't have the same ratings. So you might have 100,000 people talking, but when I talk, it's 500,000. I've seen shows where they did the exact same topics that I did. They had 150,000 viewers. I had 750,000 viewers. In the digital stratosphere, they had about 10 million people look at it. I had 150 million. Nah, it's me. I'm that dude. I walk into a negotiating room now, and despite the back and forth and the differences, it was the most amicable, peaceful negotiations you could have possibly fathomed for one reason and one reason only. I didn't speak my language. I spoke theirs.
So there's his argument. I know the data. I know the quarter hour ratings. I know how much better I am than everyone else, and I know what that is worth. Is he right?
I can't, in this day and age, understand how anybody can be worth that kind of money. I just and the 18 is what Troy Aikman makes. So I think that's what the number they came up with, and they don't want to have, you know, Aikman coming back and saying, "Hey, you told me I was always going to be the highest paid guy." So here, but here is the one, the interesting thing.
When I saw that they're this far apart, I said to myself, "Okay, we can now call it a day and go on our separate ways." ESPN is bidding against itself on this guy. There's nowhere else he can go to make that much money. Fox is not going to jump in and bring him over to their side of things, and they don't have the economics to make it work. What is ESPN doing exactly?
It's an ego thing, and they don't want to say we were, you know, we couldn't come to a deal.
But yeah. I would dare him. I would say, Stephen A.
Yeah, I would too.
I would say too. It's 18 for the next 24 hours. It'll go down by a million every day after that. And when it reaches 12, it's off the table. You've got nowhere to go. We make you as much as you think you make us. Stephen A ain't shit if he's not on ESPN.
Right. And the other thing is he's willing to take on lots and lots of jobs. He'll work for it. He'll do Saturday nights
in the studio during the NBA playoffs in the first round when you know goddamn well he'd like to be somewhere else.
Yeah, no, but he will work all that. The problem with him is he suffers from overexposure. This happened to him before at the network, and they got rid of him for a year. I think he replaced you on the radio for a year, didn't he?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that painful moment up. By the way, when he took the morning job that I was doing with Scott and Solly on Fox Sports Radio, hired by Don Martin, the head of Premier Networks Fox Sports Radio out in L.A., Stephen A. had nothing. He had hit rock bottom. He had lost a job at the Philadelphia Inquirer. He had been let go by ESPN after a failed show called Quite Frankly. I think it was Quite Frankly.
Okay.
I think so. Whatever. It was a show on ESPN tailored for him. He had failed on ESPN radio in New York City. He had nothing. And so he found an ear. His agency found an ear. And this is where he's represented by a powerful agency in L.A., right?
Mm-hmm.
CME, I believe it is.
Yeah.
Creative Media, Entertainment, blah, blah, blah. I'd have to look it up. But look, the powerful agents were able to go, okay, we got to get him something. And being L.A., well, they got a hold of this guy, Don Martin, who is a monogrammed, cufflinked, all-hat, no-cattle radio blowhard, the likes of which likes to go out to expensive lunches and dinners and brag about how he's personal friends with John Elway. How do I know this? I sat in a lunch with Don Martin and listened to him prattle on about this.
So he
got that job, and he slowly climbed his way back up, and I guess you give him credit for that. But ESPN has made Stephen A. Smith relevant, not the other way around. You take him off ESPN radio or ESPN, he is Kari Champion, who is now, I don't even know what she's doing now.
Look at Kenny Mayne. Kenny Mayne was offered, I think, like $750,000 or $800,000 to stay. And he said, no, I'm going to do my own thing. Where is he now? Nowhere.
Right. He said, I feel I could do better. Kenny Mayne, Trey Wingo, Mike Golick. Like, these are all guys that think...
Mike Golick was fired. He wanted to stay.
No, I know. Yeah, you're right. He didn't leave, but I'm just saying that the ESPN used to operate under the premise of nobody's bigger than us.
Right.
Nobody's bigger than the four red letters. Now, at least under Pitaro, they're like, well, let's pay four guys a shit ton of money and flog the public to death with them on every possible platform we got.
Yeah.
I just don't know if it makes any sense programming-wise because they haven't tried anything else in 10 years.
Well, they know what the numbers are. That's the one thing Stephen A. is right about. They know the numbers, and obviously they want him to continue because they did offer 18. Now, the price point may be too high at 25, but it's still a lot of money. And for
it's
what?
An insane amount of money. And I love it. He says, I want to go down as, I want to be known as the greatest sports commentator of all time.
No,
sorry, Stephen A. Your takes are shit and shallow. And there's a guy named Howard Cosell who was far bigger than you as a sports commentator and who took real controversial stands when it wasn't easy to do so.
Right. And Howard Cosell existed in a time of three channels. Don't compare yourself to him. Now, the one thing is, Cosell was wrong a lot. And when there was no internet to instantly check it, it didn't matter.
Right.
But Stephen A., read Phil Mushnick's column. He chronicles the Stephen A. buffoonery, including what we were just talking about with a coach going right to coaching from playing. And Stephen A., when he went on and on about Steve Nash and white privilege, when he got the Nets job, he said, this would never happen. And Mushnick points out, there had been nine African-Americans who'd gone right from playing to coaching before Steve Nash.
Right. It's something else, man. It's something else. Well, good luck with him getting the $25 million. What will he spend the extra $7 million on per year?
No. This is not about anything but keeping score. He wants to top McAfee, and he wants to top Troy Aikman. He wants to be the highest paid guy. This is not about the money. It's about being number one.
Okay.
That's what he wants.
McAfee became something on his own through his YouTube channel. Could Stephen A., if he left ESPN, garner the same amount of loyalists as McAfee on YouTube? I think the answer is no fucking way. I don't know anybody, Andy, that really likes Stephen A. Smith, that really quotes and references him like, well, you know, Stephen A. said the other day that he thinks LeBron is dot, dot, dot. Haven't met that person. Have you?
No, but I think that what he does is he brings great attention to himself.
Right.
And in doing that, that somehow brings attention to the network. Like his take on the Cowboys losing a game is to show up in a cowboy hat and a cigar the next day and go, ha, 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 ha. And everybody goes, wow, that's brilliant. No, it's not.
It's not a take. It's an act. He's a character. He's playing a character on TV, which is the Cowboys troll. And while it doesn't take a lot of brain power to do so, I will say he was smart to hook into that. As a shtick for the shallow-minded cable TV watching buffoons out there who watch First Take and actually care about what they say, that's their level of intellectual ability. Oh, he's mocking the Cowboys.
Right, but they've totally abandoned anything they were as a credible news organization.
Oh, 1,000%. They've abandoned any rationale of, hey, our listeners are smart. They deserve smart commentary. That's
right. They have Woj, who's trying to breed Sham Sharania, who's not really on my radar, and they have Adam Schefter, who's trying to beat Ian Rappaport and four other guys, different places. Oh. That's it. They're doing is trying to get the transaction first. You don't have any reporting going on. There's nobody like Bob Lee that exists there. There's a guy named Jeremy Schapp, whose dad really is a trailblazer in the business, who's been really marginalized there. His work is still good, but they don't even put it on anymore.
But
it's
even
like
if,
on streaming.
Even if Schefter beats somebody, his competitors, by a couple of minutes, it doesn't. There's no monetary value to that. And they pay him $10 million a year, Adam Schefter, which is bonkers. And not only that, but you're talking about information that is only the information that the agents, the players want out there. Whenever there's a real shocking NFL story like you don't see coming, none of the insiders have it. And I bring it up all the time. Where was Schefter? Where was Ian Rappaport? Where was Jay Glazer? They don't have the real stories that are percolating below the surface. They have the shit the agents want them to have, and they get paid a ton of money.
Yeah, I think it was Bob Kravitz of the Indianapolis Star that broke Deflategate. You know, those guys do some real reporting.
Right. And they didn't give Bob Kravitz a TV show or a contract at ESPN going, wow, you're really good at reporting. We need to hire you at $8 million a year. They didn't give it to him. Yeah,
Chris Mortensen did reporting, but, you know, he got sick and died and was peace. Not replaced. Nobody does what he does anymore. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. Going viral. By now, Andy, I'm sure you've seen and heard of the Hawk Tua girl.
Yes, I have.
What's one move in bed that makes a man go crazy every time?
Oh, you gotta give him that Hawk Tua and spit on that thing. You get me?
What are your thoughts? Apparently, she worked in education and has been fired because of this, working with young children. If this is the case, and I'm not even going to dig on it because it sounds about right, it's complete bullshit, all right? This is a young woman who made a funny reference to a sexual act that if you don't know what it is, you wouldn't know what it was.
Right.
Why do they? Why would they fire her for this?
I guess that whoever was in charge of that school district or the hiring and firing
didn't want the headache of the handful, oh, God, I can't believe you have her.
Yeah, but back in the day when I was going to kicker bars, believe it or not, in the early 80s, there were a lot of girls like that who talked that way. And there was no viral to go to. It just went out into the ether.
Let's see here. Sports Kita says, fact check, was the Hawk Tua girl fired from her job? And apparently it's been debunked.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, but okay. So if this was your beloved daughter at that tender age of probably 21, 22, if Samantha once went viral for this, how would you feel as a dad?
I wouldn't feel great. But you know, she somehow... She had a pretty good, active life prior
to
being married.
She had boyfriends in high school, right?
Yeah. She graduated high school in 2006. So there wasn't Twitter, there wasn't, you know, whatever, TikTok, any of that stuff. But people would put pictures up on Facebook of parties. And if the school saw it, you would get suspended. Or you're not allowed to do an after-school activity or sports or something like that for a period of time. And I know she was at those parties, but somehow she never got in the photographs.
Yeah. My friend Houston Scotty said, you know what? The AIDS epidemic in the 80s really ruined it for people of my age, 50-something-year-olds, because we were in high school during the peak of the, you know, fear and everything about AIDS. He said, we never had that kind of enthusiasm, quote unquote, that enthusiasm from the girls that apparently exists now.
Yeah. Well, I don't. I went to school pre-AIDS, and I don't remember much enthusiasm for
well,
me.
Well, that's true.
But maybe there were for others.
Okay. Well, the culture was not sexualized as much as it is now, thanks to the internet. The internet has hyper-sexualized the culture, and it's been devastating for many young women and girls. Not just those who are participating in it, but also those who feel marginalized, like, I'm not pretty enough, my boobs aren't big enough, I look ugly, I don't have a boyfriend. It's just not healthy. And I'm not like some kind of, I'm not like a...
church lady.
Right. I'm not the Taliban here. I'm not ready to smash every radio, but a more prude society would be a much better footing for our girls and boys to grow up in until they're at least 18 years old.
Well, I've heard of something called random hookups, which, did not exist in my time, I can tell you that.
How does that work?
I guess it's an agreement that there's going to be sex, and that's it. No further ties, She leaves or he leaves the room.
How random is it? Like, you literally draw straws at a party? Like, okay, number six, it's you two. Have fun.
I was never a participant in such, so I can't tell you.
Okay. The other going viral is Kate, the Oiler fan in the Stanley Cup Finals, who has leaned into it now that the Oilers have forced a Game 7. She teamed up with Playboy to do a photo shoot.
Right, but she's an adult film star, isn't she anyway? Does she appear in adult movies? I thought she does.
I don't think so. I think now she's hooked up with Playboy, but prior to that, she was a reluctant super fan.
Mm, okay. Well, she bared her boobs at the right moment. That's for sure. The camera's got it.
She's got a lot of ink on her arms. Kind of weird and kind of gross if you're like, oh, boy, because you didn't see that with a hockey jersey. You didn't see that from the neck up. But, yeah, something's going on there. So if that was your daughter, how would you feel?
No, that's not good. No, that would be. No.
Which would be worse, as a parent of a daughter, the going viral because your boobs at a hockey game or the Huck Tua?
Oh, the boobs, much worse. The Huck Tua.
You think Huck Tua girl is going to be forgotten at some point?
Well, I hope so. I think she's enjoying her 15 minutes now or not enjoying it. But, yeah, they'll move on. There'll be something else next week.
Yeah. Okay, a couple of things real quick. Once again, it's fertility drugs. He swears Orelvis Martinez of the Blue Jays popped for PEDs, said it was fertility drugs that he took because he and his girlfriend are trying to start a family. Andy, if you and I had a nickel for every major league player that said fertility drugs, we'd at least have a big jar of nickels, wouldn't we?
Yes, and he will have an interesting entry in the baseball encyclopedia like Moonlight Graham, because he made his major league debut Friday. If he never makes it back, there'll be, maybe played two games before this happened yesterday or today, whatever it was, less than three games. Yeah. So his line will be that, and the backstory is great. Like Moonlight Graham, he finally got in a game, didn't get in a bat, and went to medical school the following year. But this would be something different.
Yeah. We've had our first pitch clock violation
walk-off
win in the major leagues. How do you feel about it?
They were enforcing the rules. I watched Davey Martinez, the manager's news conference. This is a Nats reliever who gave up the walk-off
pitch clock. Rockies versus Nats. Rockies had
Saturday
the bases
night.
Loaded, tied at seven, bottom of the
Kyle Finnegan.
Kyle Finnegan, yeah. Nats closer. A touch too late in pitching the ball. You're okay with this?
Well, I watched Davey Martinez. Yes, but here's the question. Could that happen in Game 7 of the World Series?
I mean, it could.
It could, but I don't think they'd let it.
This is a pile of shit, Andy. And you should be able to call it something similar. I know you're not as vulgar as I am, but this is a joke. The rules are the rules. This is not sport. It's not.
They've shortened the game, I mean, theoretically, a team has it first and goal at the half-foot line, and they take too much time in the huddle. They go back to the five.
The play clock is an integral part of football. The pitch
because it's
clock
been there for a long
time. Is something that Manfred cooked up because he's a fucking idiot who doesn't know how to market the game.
He's an idiot in other ways. This was Theo Epstein who came up with this, and baseball is entirely watchable now. 3 hour and 40 minute 9 inning games, not for me. I don't know what.
Well, then you got it. Then you got to suspend it then for certain innings. When the game is tied in the ninth inning, there should be no pitch clock.
Well, then you're gonna have guys, you know, sitting out there and guys stepping out of the box, and you know, oh God, no. They look. It's still relatively new. What is this, season number 3 with the clock? I don't want to get rid of it. I like it.
All right. Finally, Andy, congrats to an industry guy that we know, Chris Kynard of Odyssey in D.C., has been named new sports format vice president for Odyssey, the giant radio conglomerate of stations, for his work at WJFK and our old station, the Team 980. Huzzah, yeah. Huzzah, Chris Kynard, your new vice president.
Yes, he's done a good job, and he's a real success story because he started that station as an intern. I like people like that.
Yeah, and I know, like you know, the Andy Dufresne like tunnel of shit he's had to crawl through in this business to get to this point. I hope that title came with a fat big raise, but me knowing the industry and knowing fucking Odyssey as a company, my guess is probably not a big raise.
But sometimes in radio where they think, oh, I got to go outside the box, let's hire somebody who has an ice cream store. Never mind that he's never worked in radio a day in his life. We'll make him the president of sports program. They took a guy who knows what he's doing, has been proven to be successful doing what he's doing. So I like that.
All right. Very good. Well, we need to figure out a concert to go to. I'll send you some possibilities. Maybe make a thing out of it. Maybe invite some listeners to the podcast to come join us.
Well, that sounds like fun. I would like that.
Okay, very good. Andy, as always, a pleasure, my friend. We'll talk next week.
All right, Dave, take care. Ooh, that's why I'm easy. I'm easy like Sunday morning.
Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs, look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up.